the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Love Christmas. Love the mild-mannered baby stories that... Maybe that's not the way to put it. Mild mannered baby.
I was waiting for the wrap up to that.
What is that? Well, tell us the mild mannered baby stories
there were so many
of your
Christmas. Which one?
Well, what I meant to say was, like, you know, we love that the whole scene, Silent Night, Holy Night. It's great. Mm-hmm. So this baby grows up. The reactions to him are amazing. The reactions to Jesus are amazing during his adult life. Like what I mean by that. Here's what I mean. People freaking out, screaming for him to go away. That happened. There's people who drop to their knees, weeping when he's around. So there's a screaming, you got to go away, drop to your knees. There's people who try to kill him on the spot. There's people who actually start picking up stones to throw at him. There's people who suddenly acknowledge who he is. It's like, these are not normal reactions to somebody who's just going around trying to reform religion a little bit. There's more to it than that. So if you're somebody who's like new to this Christianity thing, please look at who Jesus is. Please read about him because he's way more fascinating than just stopping after the Christmas story. Merry Christmas to you. So glad you are listening. We get I love you, but notes a lot. So it's I love you, but ... Mm-hmm. And then bam.
Right. Drop a bomb.
You'll rope a dope.
Okay. Like, flim flam.
Yeah. You're looking at my left hand. Bam. Right hand. She didn't mean it that way. It was actually really nice.
Carmen
said, I enjoy listening to the station often. I'm glad for the insights and positivity you share. However, I end up changing to a different station sometimes because I find some discussion on our show and Sherry's loud laugh annoying. Don't mean to be a downer, but maybe you could tone it down a bit.
Oh, yes. So. The hard part about that is, legitimately, number one, I do understand. I really do. Number two, and you're not going to want to believe this, this is toned down.
It really is.
This is toned down. Well,
here's my response to her. Maybe I should say something else if you want. But
all right, let's hear.
Because it's not just your laugh.
Well,
she's saying some of the discussions, which is what I hear too, is like some of the things it's just a little too crazy, Brent.
Yeah.
You're a little too weird.
Tone it down.
Right.
Okay.
So tone it down. I said, thank you for listening. We are honored. Mm-hmm. Since we are being ourselves on the air, we risk annoying people, which happens in all real relationships eventually.
True.
Right?
True.
I said, I totally understand if we're not your cup of tea sometimes, but this really is who we are. So I just wanted to know that. And again, any real relationship, if they're going to be real, at some point, you're going to be like,
you're going to be annoyed. Yeah.
But hopefully you stick it through. And again, I really do appreciate it. And we hear that from time to time.
We do. We're
trying.
Sometimes there's pockets. So I wonder if there's something specific that we do that makes that group of people be like, okay.
Yeah, all right, the thing yesterday was with the flute. That was okay. All right, I'm writing a note. Welcome to Hanson's Helpful Holiday Headquarters Helpline Hotline. And my name is Brant, 855-90-BRANT. If you have any holiday questions, I will field them. It's a free service that our show offers. And so here we go. Somebody called for this.
Hi, this is Lynn. I heard on your show about the Gollum sushi kit. I'm intrigued and I would like more information. Also, I need some help from the Hanson's Holiday Helpline. I have a Christmas shirt that's probably 30 years old, and I wear it each year at Christmas time, and I'm wondering if I should wear it again this year. It's a little bit out of fashion, and a little yellowed, a little tattered and faded, but you know, it's Christmassy, so I was wondering if I could have your expert opinion. Thank you, Brant and Sherry. Love the show.
That's sweet.
It
thank you.
It sounds like no, you shouldn't, and here's why.
She shouldn't wear the shirt.
I think your relatives probably and friends are expecting you to wear it.
Okay. So you're saying, do wear it or don't?
Don't. You never. This is just one of my holiday rules. Never.
Meet expectations.
Meet expectations. Always surprise people with something. They're like, whoa, 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 I didn't see that coming. Because that's exactly what they expect. Sure. What's your move going to be?
Yes. What do you have a suggestion?
This is all, well, she has to decide here. But make it keep. You know what? People figuring you out. That's the key thing with the holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Brant, it's Kim. And you're talking about if Jesus was an introvert or an extrovert. And most people say that Jesus was an extrovert because he was around crowds of people all the time. Well, we as introverts, we'll be in a crowd of people when we need to be, but it takes up our energy. And then we need to step back and take time alone to re-energize. Well, you see Jesus often taking time to himself. He'll get in the boat and go across the lake by himself. He'll go in the garden and pray by himself. He steps away from the crowd and spends time alone.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, though, like, my takeaway from this is I don't know what if Jesus was introvert or extrovert, but I love talking about this stuff because it drives you back to the Gospels, like reading the accounts of Jesus mm-hmm. and going, who is he really? Mm-hmm. Like, what did he actually do? Because there's so much social baggage that comes with that, so much in our own background, so many unnecessary guilt trips, mm-hmm. so many cartoon versions the larger culture puts on us about who Jesus is, or no, he was just like a yogi or some kind of peaceful, mm-hmm. Really? Okay, let me read it, and let me find out what he's really like. That's why I love talking about this stuff. Fascinating conversation with a friend who's looking into this Christianity thing. So his take on Jesus, he's been reading the Gospels, mm-hmm. working his way through, just started, read the whole book of John, now he's in Matthew. Mm-hmm. And so his thing is, yeah, some of the stuff Jesus says sounds kind of self-aggrandizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's saying, like, I am this and that. I'm like, I know. Sounds that way, doesn't it? And he was like, well, what do you think of that? Like, well, I guess it's self-aggrandizing if it's not true. Mm. Like, what if it's true? What if he's actually saying this because he loves us, and he's saying this, I am the way, because he wants us to follow the way, because he knows it leads to life. Like, what if he's really it? In the example I keep using, he's a soccer fan, a European soccer fan. I don't know anything about European soccer, but he had a t-shirt on. I'm like, what if Salzburg, he had Salzburg shirt on. What if they win the Austrian championship, whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Would it be self-aggrandizing them for them to then request the trophy, or at least say, we won the champ? You guys can't just say you're champ. No, you are. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You are. We won. We were the champions. It's just true. The remarkable thing, though, is that this God, who's the king of the universe, instead of entering into the world in a palace, is introduced to the world in a barn. That is not self-aggrandizement. It's amazing how humble he is. Christmas is a time for family. We were just talking off the air about our moms. Maybe your mom was this way, where they do a snap move. Like if you get together. In fact, to this day, mm-hmm. Sherry's mom, she didn't snap and point at us.
No.
Didn't do one of those, moves. But
we had gone on too long about something that she didn't find it funny initially.
But we did.
Yes. And then we just kept going and going and going and going with it.
So that's a problem. And I'm sure my mom, as she listens to the show, uh-huh. is saying, at least internally, if not out loud, okay. Okay, that's just a little silly. That thing you get just did. You guys need to calm down. You had your fun. Settle down. Mentioned talking to this friend about who Jesus is, and he's looking into Christianity, very, very intellectually honest, I think, which I love. And I love having these discussions and stuff. So we're talking about it. And one of the things is he has to fight, and I think anybody has to fight, is thinking you're going to know enough at some point where you know everything. And then you can make a decision. We don't make any decisions that way. There is no, even if it's just buying a car, you don't know everything. It's still kind of a risk, isn't it? Mm. You're not quite sure. Was that a good idea or not? Getting married, still a little bit of a gamble there, isn't there? I mean, you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And what a big decision. And there's a mathematician named Pascal, and some people are familiar with him. You may or may not be. But he was a believer. And he actually talked about this being a gamble. But he said, look, if I'm right, if you're saying in the end, there is no difference between a believer and a not believer after you die, there's no difference. And I'm saying there is a difference. Do you really want to roll the dice? And are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you sure about your own position? Which I think is fair. And at some point, I mentioned this just in case you're listening too, going, man, I just need more information. Like, well, there is, that's true. I respect that to a degree because I want that. But at some point,
there is a point where you just go, God, I believe, and help me with my unbelief.
Question for the ladies. When you go to touch up your makeup, you do a little touch up, how big of a difference does it make?
I think it makes a big difference.
Okay. It must.
Yeah.
It
why?
Because I don't know when this story happened, but I just saw it over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This lady was on a bus tour in Iceland, right? So she decided, hey, I need to go touch up.
Yes.
And so she did. She came back. And then later on, there were reports that there was a missing woman. She was unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, the whole bus and some other people around the area were in a search party in that whole area.
Okay.
And then it finally dawned on her.
They were looking for her.
They're actually looking for her. She's in the search party.
Oh.
But they were looking for the lady that they saw before. They didn't recognize her. And so she was unwittingly, the headline actually says, missing woman unwittingly joined search party looking for herself.
Listen, let me tell you, good lip gloss can do it every time.
Completely unrecognizable. What happened to the other lady who was sitting in row 7?
She was nice.
Where did she go? Watch this, okay? Watch what I'm about to do. No one has ever done this in the history of radio before, ever.
This is a history-making time.
I'm about to take a news item about the high fashion industry.
Yes.
And turn it into a point about Christmas in a biblical sense.
Hold, please. I'm going to take my seats. Hold on.
This is going to be incredible, here. You guys.
All
wait
right.
For this.
Let's see.
All right, they're already applauding. Yeah. It's incredible.
Well, high fashion and Christmas.
Here's what I was thinking. Okay, so this is actual fashion news. You know what the in fashion is?
What?
It's apocalyptic fashion. So seriously, like tactical vests, orange safety stuff, camo.
Okay.
That's what they're wearing on runways now. I just saw this in the news yesterday.
Okay.
It's apocalyptic fashion. They're interviewing all these high fashion people in Europe, and they're like, well, it's because of all the anxiety and all the, like, so you're wearing, it's like tactical wear for surviving an apocalypse. All right. So I mentioned that only to say that they're all like, well, that's where our culture is. We're extremely anxious. We're extreme. Like, these are dark times. The whole world is, you know, up in arms, all this. Like, You're right. But it's not a new thing. And if you actually look at the political landscape and the brutality that people practice, go back to the time that Jesus was born. It was dark and deep. In fact, a lot of people were taken to caves because they're like, this is where the world ends.
Mm.
Like, they're apocalyptic. It's all ending. We're seeing people, this horrible things happening. And it's the darkest time. And then the Bible describes Jesus as the light of the world, and it comes from outside the world. So, like, there's hope, but it's not from us. The light didn't just well out of, oh, suddenly we all became enlightened. No, it's like, but there was hope in the darkest night. So when you sing that song like Silent Night or something like that, or you think about, oh, holy night, or in the darkness shines a light. There's all this light imagery, but it's from him. And as a result, I don't think we need to wear tactical gear. Like, we don't have to be as anxious. We don't have to be anxious because of what God's done for us. The light came and shined from heaven. It's a holiday safe place here where you can share if maybe you're not as into something Christmassy like other people are. Like, we have shared with great, frankly, bravery that we're not that into It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Which, if you like it, that's awesome.
Yes. We're not saying anything bad against anyone who enjoys it. We just do not. I haven't even been able to get through it, actually.
It's the yelling. Yes. And that's okay. If other people like it, it's great. But sometimes it's dangerous to admit these things. So if you want to admit something like that, it is 855-90-BRANT is the phone number.
Hey, it's Bradley. I thought I'd just share some of those holiday things that a lot of people like, and I just don't. Eggnog is my biggest one in Christmas time. I can drink it one time a year for Christmas, and then I'm good for the year. And I don't really even like it when I drink it. I just drink it because my wife will kill me if I don't.
Okay. There's a couple things going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
First, it's funny if you don't like eggnog.
Sure. Well, for some people.
I don't want to judge your marital situation, but to me, that seems like an extreme reaction just because you don't want to drink an egg-based drink that she would do something like that. But again,
Everybody's different.
That's, yeah, you guys, however you want to work through that, but that to me seems like it's too much. Welcome to you, and we mean this, especially if you don't feel particularly welcome in normal church culture circles. I don't know how else to put it. It's not a bash on church at all. It's just like, I've always felt like an observer, and I've always felt like I'm kind of out of it. Like, I'm watching other people have these religious experiences, and I'm like, okay, so what's wrong with me? Because I'm not having that. We want you to know you're welcome here if you're like that. And I have also learned, and we like to talk about this from time to time, just to make sure you know you're welcome. I have learned that God's definition of spirituality, what it means to be a spiritual person, is not emotion. It's me actually humbling myself and striving for faithfulness. That's it. So I don't have to go through, if I'm lacking this emotion or something, it doesn't mean I've failed or God's turned his back on me. This is great news because our emotions come and go, but he's still so good to us. I just want to mention all that in case you're one of those people. It's like, I don't know if I belong here. You do.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.